Welcome to This Is Your Book Club. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
It's so good to be back.
Yes. I think this is episode 20.
Woo woo!
Can you believe it?
Is it really?
Episode 20.
We're no longer in the teens.
No.
We are just making our way.
We're cruising right along.
I love it.
I know.
I don't know what exciting. I feel like we need to like commemorate this.
I know.
Cheers to us. Confetti. Cheers to our listeners.
Yeah. Thanks. Right.
This is so fun.
Thanks for plugging along with us.
I know. I hope we're entertaining you and making this time worthwhile.
Yeah. Bring a smile to your face and some books to your lists. And
absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Today is What's on Your Shelf.
Yay.
Got some good ones.
Got some good books this week.
But before we get started.
Yes, we want to mention our book for October for Book Club is Writers and Lovers by Lily King.
Super excited about this one.
I can't wait to start reading it. Yeah, we talked about all these books back in March.
Yeah.
And so we've been waiting to read them with you. And I'm really excited. This one, another
good one
that gets good reviews.
I mean, it's looking really good.
Yeah, it looks good. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it looks so good. And then my hopes are so high. Then I'm worried I'm going to be... My hopes were too high, but
I know
I've heard good things about this one as well. So far, we've had good books. I've enjoyed them all.
We have had good books.
So
yeah.
We have good picker outers.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to pat myself on the back or anything.
I might.
But I'll pat you.
Okay. Thanks. I shouldn't pat myself on the back because then maybe next time it'll be like,
I'll
lose my cred. But so just lucky. Us, yeah. We've had some good ones so far. So
yeah, been talking about we've been choosing these books from a list that we made, like we said back in mm-hmm. March, and we would like to expand our list. Like we need to add to this list. So if you've got books that you think would be great for our book club month, let us know because we'd love to hear your input and add those to our list.
Yeah, so that it grows out of our interests more into theirs. And we've also talked about me putting a book. Recommending a book and you recommending one and then having the listeners vote, remember?
Yes, maybe we should do that next
time.
That
would be fun to do and to see.
We might have to announce it early so that we have time to read it the next month.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to Writers and Lovers and Lily King. We love to go off topic.
Our fantastic fact.
Yeah. So our fun fact. This time I'm just going to give you a little history of Lily King. I haven't read any of her other books before, but she is the author of 5 novels. And they are award-winning novels. Her most recent is the one we're reading, Writers and Lovers, and it came out March of this year, 2020. Her last novel in 2014 called Euphoria, which has a beautiful cover.
Yes.
I love to look at book covers.
Check
and
it
it's
out.
A beautiful cover. Won the Kirkus Award, the New England Book Award, and was a finalist for the National Book Critics Award. Euphoria was named one of the 10 best books of 2014 by the New York Times Book Review. It was included in Time's Top 10 Fiction Books of 2014, as well as on Amazon, NPR, Entertainment Weekly, Publishers Weekly, and Salon's Best Books of 2014. So that's just a little bit about her career, and we'll jump into a little bit about her and some other fun facts the next couple of weeks. But she, and I haven't read any of her books, so I'm excited to read Writers and Lovers and then add Euphoria to my list as well.
Add it to the list. Yeah, I agree.
See what we think there. So she's super cute, has a really cute dog on her.
I know. She just
website.
Looks like we would be friends.
Yeah, that's when I showed Sarah a picture. She said, oh, it looks like she'd be friends with us.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way. She just looks familiar and friendly and someone you could just sit down and talk with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Check her out. Yeah. Have you read her books?
Yeah.
What ones are
which
your favorite?
Which one should, after Writers and Lovers, if you've read, if you're a huge fan, tell us which one's your favorite and where we should start
that. Yeah, we'd love to add
them. So, yeah.
Okay, very good.
I'm excited for this book.
I know. It's just a very intriguing, plot line, right?
Yeah.
Like, the idea that you're at this point in your life that you change, right? And we change internally. I don't know. I feel like that happens more than just once. I mean, you talk about it from child to adult.
Yes, and I think a lot of books that they call coming of age are that adolescent change from child to teenager adulthood, but this is like
she's a different time period.
It's 20 to 30, but that is another change, and I don't think we,
like, you're walking away from school and trying to find,
like, what you're gonna
do, what you're gonna do with your life and making those big choices. And then I feel like more come later, like, okay, now you've had children maybe, and your children, like, that's kind of where I'm at, like, there's gonna be another change, and we're gonna have, now my children are old enough and they don't need my presence every minute of the day. So what next? Like, what am I going to do now? And how do I see me now? Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's those big changes that we experience.
There's all these roles that we come into. And I think it's surprising because I've always thought, you know, you're a kid and then you go to college and then you're an adult and a mom and that's it.
Yeah.
Like your career.
Like you just stick with it.
But there's so many different things in there. You're a wife. You're a mother of teenagers, toddlers. I mean, it's not just being
one
a parent.
Thing overall. It is very dynamic.
And then who am I still in there without all those different roles? When I'm just, when I'm
and
still
who am
me.
I to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So
anyway, so I'm excited.
Me too.
I think it's going to be good.
I agree.
I just love books that I feel like make me evaluate myself. And I feel like this, I'm hoping this might be one of those.
Yes. And I think it's interesting that it's Lily King wrote a book about a writer.
Yeah.
That's
dreamed
the main character is trying to be a writer.
In creative
things. She has firsthand account of what that is like. So
having
it'll be
to
fun
take
to read.
Plunge. Yeah, yeah. I am excited.
Yes, me too.
All right. It's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What? We're going to talk books now.
Yeah, we're talking books. You want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'm going to talk. To choose to choose. I read Cast. Have you heard of it?
I don't know.
The full title is Cast, The Origins of Our Discontents. And it is by Isabel Wilkerson. And I think it just recently came out, August. Yep, August of 2020. And so it talks about, you know, a caste system. That's the basis of this book. And that in the U.S., we don't claim to have a caste system like in other countries. But we really do. We just don't call it a caste system.
We just don't recognize it that way.
It's racism.
Interesting.
Puts us into castes and that it's really hard when you to get out of that caste in here. And we discuss, we don't have a caste system. We don't have that. And this book goes through all the different examples and compares them to other countries' caste systems. And it's almost worse how the racism and...
Well, I think when you don't recognize it, it goes unregulated.
That's exactly the book is. We're not accepting of it.
Or acknowledging it.
Acknowledging that it's there. But that's what it is. As immigrants came over and our country was built on the labor of their... I mean, they came here and labored and we couldn't have built the country we have. And I say we because it's our country. But we couldn't be as advanced as we are now without their labor, and then how we treated them and put them below the people that were already here establishing it and putting the systems in place, and that they've never really gotten the opportunity to work out of that because
once you're there, it's almost impossible.
Yeah. And they can't change the prejudice because they're not the white people. Like, you can only change it if you're in control and the people you're in control are white men. And so if you're not a white man, then there's no way for you to change the system that's holding you down.
Because if you're the person, whoever the person is that's in charge and in control, if by allowing other people,
then
you're minimizing your own chances of having that control.
Right. And why? And it does talk about that. Like, it's from being scared of not having all that you have and that you've worked for, and it comes from that place of being scared.
Fear.
Fear of giving up what you have.
I think fear does a lot to us
to help bring others up.
Do a lot of things that maybe we normally wouldn't do.
Right.
I agree with that.
So it was just fascinating, the different examples of other tribes and other countries and and how we compare to them. It's just unbelievable. And things I had never even thought about before that really brought to my mind and made me question myself. Like,
oh, really?
How much of this do I fall into without even knowing? Wow. How much racism or prejudice is really there because I was born into a culture,
sure,
we all were, that has it.
Well, and
it has
real.
Its effect on us. And I read another book that I'm going to talk about later too, but that we have to be accepting that we have racist, we are racist. And it's hard to say that because it sounds so negative and horrible.
And you love people. And right, I, you know, and we all love, most of us,
yeah,
truly don't I want don't, to be racist.
Right. But we have, we are in communities with thoughts and ideas that have been around us since we were little. And to say I'm not racist is not accepting of the fact that there is racism. It is kind of what's
that
brought to
really
light.
That is really interesting.
And so it's really, it's, this book really made me turn and look at myself of, and reevaluate, like,
yeah,
where am I and what do I think and how could I reach out to help others? And it's, I think, you know, the Black Lives Matters and all this that has come to light. And I know that's been around for years, but just in the last,
it's very prominent right now,
few months, I've really am looking into myself and challenging myself on beliefs and thoughts that I have and that I might perpetuate and
unknowingly
not, I'm not coming out and saying, I don't want, it's so hard to say because I don't want people to think, oh my gosh, she just said she's racist, but we,
I see what you're saying.
Do you under, yeah, so
yes,
I think it's such a hard,
because I know you and I know that you would never want to act like a person who is racist.
Absolutely.
But to admit,
exactly.
Sure.
I think there are things that I'm ignorant about that I wouldn't even realize if I had said or done something, how offensive it could be because of my ignorance.
Yeah.
And because I'm not Black. I do have that white privilege. And there are blinders I have on because of that.
Yeah.
That I don't know what it feels like. And I don't know what certain triggers are that I might be perpetuating or doing. And so anyway, just a good opening book. I also read White Fragility, which I'll talk about on my next book, but just reading the two of those and a couple other things about race and racism recently has me really I don't want to say excited, because this, I mean, it's such a long time coming, not excited, but looking forward to the reflection in myself.
That's great.
Which is just opening my eyes.
Yeah.
A little bit more to, I thought I was good and how can I be better?
Sure. I think too that just by having the conversation, by being willing to research and read and try to understand mm-hmm. the other side. Like,
yeah.
I think that, as white people, right? Like, there's a conversation
right.
that needs to be had, and we need to be listening.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, this is a moment where there's times to talk, and there's times that we need to listen. And I think
right.
this is time to listen.
This is time to listen, and this is
and
time.
And like you're saying, self-reflection.
Yeah.
Because maybe I can't influence anyone, and maybe it's not my job to change anyone else,
mm-hmm.
but myself.
Yes.
Like, I can work on me.
Yeah. I'm going to add White Fragility right into this conversation
yeah.
so that we don't come back to it, because I think it's we're just there right now.
Yeah.
So I also just finished White Fragility by Robin
D'Angelo.
I've heard
a lot about White Fragility.
And I really liked it. It was a pretty quick read, and it brought out a lot of really good points. I liked Cast better. I think I gave Cast 5 stars and I gave White Fragility 4 stars. Both had different, you know, the cast system part of the other one was fascinating to me, but it got definitely into racism as a caste system. White Fragility, what I took away from that is, like we said, it's our time to listen right now.
Yeah.
And what I want is, if I were to say or do something that was offensive to anybody else, that they would feel comfortable saying to me, hey, I was offended by that. And that then I would feel comfortable to not feel attacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would feel comfortable saying, I wasn't aware that what I said could make you feel that way. Can we talk about this? Can you tell me the feelings you had? That we could follow up with a conversation of resolution and continue on. So I think that it takes courage from the other person to stand up and say, hey, that was offensive, because they've learned to not bring it up, because then they're looked at as the complainer or and then the white person on the other hand. Yeah. And the white person then puts their hands up and says, I can't say anything without being, you know, and she gives lots of examples about that, or that they're offended because of course they're not racist. They have black friends. They have, you know, all the other excuses that come up. My hope is to just accept that unknowingly I offended somebody, and that I want to talk and listen and talk and listen until it's resolved, so that I can learn from it to be better for the next, you know, conversation, or just being able to have that conversation with it. So white fragility really focuses on that. Like, she's a she goes around and trains in companies about racism and how racism comes across in workplaces and in schools and stuff. And so she wrote this more just kind of a training guide of how that goes, which is, so it's different. It's very differently written, but it gives really good examples of sitting down in these trainings and having these conversations and finding out who was offended and who wasn't offended and why, and how when you as a white person become offended and upset, like say you start crying, how then the attention shifts to you. And then everything is always about the white person, but the black person can't cry because then they're viewed in a different negative way. And so they're taught to not be emotional about things and to not stand up for if I was offended, but
then it comes across as cold.
Yeah.
And then you don't see them as people.
Exactly. And I think perpetuating that has just put a much bigger wedge in between stereotypes and prejudice and racism. And so if we could just start having more conversations.
I mean, I just think that's like the saving grace of everything. Situation. It's
everything can we right keep now.
Talking about it.
Let's understand each other's point of view, because obviously I can't understand a black person's view in this country.
Never.
And as much as we try to learn about civil rights and what happened, and as it's become more, you know, in our face of seeing the brutality and things happening, of course, we're feeling worse about it.
Yeah.
But we're just feeling worse and feeling guilt that it happened. And of course, we should. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But what is not happening is the conversation about
how we can change.
Tell me how my actions and words are affecting you so that I can learn.
Yeah.
And anyway, just two great books about that.
That's so great.
I really recommend both of them. And I think
sometimes it's hard to find the words to explain like how it affects, you know, so it's like taking the time to let, you know, sometimes you have to say things like 50 times before you really can express what's happening.
Right.
You know, and being able to stick with it and listen.
And not be offended. Just be able to hear what they're saying, because
it's probably not about you.
We're not used to
everything.
Accepting our, you know, that we've done something wrong.
Well, nobody wants to.
But I think if we could just put it down and be like, hey, you know what? I didn't. You tell me how that made you feel, because that's the only way. Yeah, just not be offended. If we could just not be offended. And I think white people have had the stage for so long that then that tends to be our response to somebody standing up to white people and saying, hey, this hurt my feelings. And we're like, wait, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have hurt your feelings. I'm
a nice person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. None of us are. Let's just
put our pride down. Yeah, it's things that you maybe don't even realize you're doing. Yeah. And I don't realize, you know, I'm sure that I've said and done a lot of things, right? In my ignorance without even realizing. And thinking, what?
Right.
And that's a problem? I didn't know.
I had no idea. Let's have a conversation so that I can learn.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just think, a lot could come from
really good.
Really good books. I really... like I said, 5 stars to Cast and 4 stars to White Fragility. I think, books everybody should read.
Yeah. I think these kinds of things right now, you need to be, and especially if you're not understanding, right? Like, you're seeing everything on the news and you can't quite grasp this movement and everything that's happening, like, that this is the right thing to do.
This is,
like, we need to turn to
educating yourself on what the issues really are and where they come from. Like, the history on racism that are in both of these books is fascinating. It's fascinating, the things that they've tried to do, and then the repercussion of that led to this, and our thoughts on it, and just really eye-opening.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that most people in our society want to be fair, and they don't want to be racist, and they want a society where everyone is equal. I think they do. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to find the road there.
Right.
And it's hard to reconcile things that happened in the past when we weren't in the same place that we are now.
Right.
And trying to, you know, own that. Like, absorb it to be able to move forward.
Yeah.
And I don't know the right way there.
No.
I don't know the right way to that equality, and that goes for everything. I want, you know, all races, all genders, all everything.
Absolutely.
To feel like that they have the same shot as everybody else. And if they want to put in the effort, they're going to get it.
Right.
I don't know how to get there. Yeah. But I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hopeful.
Absolutely. And that's what these books were. It's hope that we can educate ourselves and move forward together, united, to have that better understanding. One of the things she pointed out was that a lot of people were like, well, and I think that we kind of fall in this too. I didn't grow up around any Black people.
Yeah.
You know, so how I can't be racist. I've never even been around a Black person or, you know, things like that. And we're in Utah.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of Black people here. I think the majority of my life, my teachers, my classmates, my church leaders have been white people. The adults around me are white. And her recommendation for that is that doesn't give you an excuse not to learn more and to get out and try. You just need to leave your area a little more and search it out to find out about races. Different races and what racism looks like and how you can help. It takes being uncomfortable, not staying where you're
putting
comfortable,
yourself,
but putting yourself out
yeah.
and reaching out to help others that
that's good
aren't
advice.
Necessarily in your neighborhood or who you're around. So anyway,
that's awesome.
Those are my two books meshed together there.
Very good. No, I like that.
Were excellent reads. Highly recommend both.
Awesome. Okay, the first one that I'm going to talk about, I read Jessica Simpson's memoir, Open Book.
Okay.
This is like, let's take a right turn.
That is. I've seen it. I've heard nothing about it.
Okay.
And it's not one I think I would have ever picked up.
Okay.
And I like memoirs. But
I like a memoir, you know, they're not my favorite. They're not my go-to genre.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's someone that I know or whatever, I might. This was recommended to me. And even I kind of was like, eh. Like, I have my preconceptions of Jessica Simpson. And I grew up. She's a year older than me. And so it was right at that time. Like, I loved the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes.
I loved Britney Spears. I loved New Kids on the Block. These are like...
I went to their concert. That was my first concert.
New Kids on the Block?
Yeah.
Well, NSYNC was kind of like my bigger. I love them more. I'm a Justin fan.
I'm older
fan.
Than you, so that I'm probably hit
they
the
did
new
come
kid
out
era a
little bit
before.
Sooner. So like NSYNC that. Was really my... Because I think Justin's, again, NSYNC a year older than me.
You know their ages.
I do. Like, I was totally a teeny bopper. I loved all of these people. Mm-hmm. I grew up with them. I obsessed over them.
Okay.
So I followed her and she wasn't on. Like, I knew she had auditioned and didn't make it. Like, even young, I knew that about her. And I think that kind of made me go, well, you're not as good as these other people. I don't know, just by that.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I think she has a fabulous voice. Like, I like to sing. I am critical of people's voices, and I love Britney Spears songs, but I could sing out of my nose just like her. And maybe I'll do that for you one day. But
oh, are you saying you could do an interpretation?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Because it's not hard.
Okay.
Like the way, but Jessica Simpson would be much more difficult. She has quite a range She's that you different. Cannot.
Okay.
Not very many people could replicate. She's very talented. And I recognize that. But at the same time, like, she's kind of a dumb. And she lets her dad run her life. And,
yeah.
You know, whatever. All the things that I, whatever, thought about her.
Mm-hmm.
And this book was eye-opening for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe changed your viewpoint
totally
of her.
It totally changed my Did viewpoint okay. of her. But it also made me go, you know what? You don't really know anyone. You don't.
Right.
Like, I don't care how famous you are or whatever you
see. Well, and that's the thing, when you're famous, they're putting out...
You're not really getting the truth.
Yeah. Your producer is putting out what people are going to want to see and do, and that's what you do. It's not really you most of the time, I would think.
No. So. And it was a reminder to me. I know that. Yeah. But yet, even for me, like, that's maybe I never thought of her again because those are all of my childhood preconceptions. Mm-hmm. But now, as an adult, I just never re-examined them because it's, why would I? I have other things that occupy my brain.
Yeah.
But it was good for me because I walked away from this book going, like, I really like her. I really like her. She's been through a lot and she's open. Now, I listened to the audiobook and she is the narrator.
I love when people narrate their own books.
I know. And she was very emotional through the whole thing. So
really?
She's like... This is all very real for her. It was hot. You could tell she's invested in this, in her story.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot of tough things. Like, as a young girl, she was molested by another girl. Like, another girl that was only, like, 4 or 5 years older than her.
Wow.
I mean, it's very sad. Okay? And I had no idea about this because it's not something that she's come out with.
Yeah.
And she talks a lot about her... you know, her body and her struggle with her body because she developed at a young age, mm-hmm. like her boobs were big, and yet she started singing at churches. And so to have big boobs in church was not okay. And so it was constantly being asked to cover up. What are you wearing? You're so immodest. You're sinful. Like, you're being sinful. And she's
wearing what everybody else was wearing.
Yes.
She just happened.
It fit differently on her body.
The story of my life.
Yes. Right.
I understand that completely.
And so she was constantly being told to cover up in all of her early performances. And then the minute that she gets signed to a label, she is told to take off her clothes.
Yeah.
Like, don't wear, you know, what
What
can we
show?
Show
more, show more.
Yeah, and it was, and you know what? You're 117 pounds, but you need to lose 15.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, she was a bitty little thing, and she's being told she was just never, it was never enough.
Never enough.
She was always being told to lose more, and so she, even when she was at her lowest, which was, like, 102 pounds, she was still unhappy and still being told, like, oh, you gotta get, can't you just tone up a little bit? Can't you do this, that, or the other? So she was never satisfied, and how
never
now
making
looking
everyone
back,
happy.
Right, and looking back, she can understand how wrong that was. But in that, when you're young,
but you're young, and you're so impressionable, and
absolutely.
You think, and you're so self-conscious about your body changes and all of that, and then people are saying straight to you, "No, you need to look like this, and wear this."
Yeah, and
that's
like and
a lot of pressure,
and she's constantly competing. Like she, so before
did she, have
she
an
signed
disorder?
A label,
she never
did.
Okay.
But it was a constant battle, like, with herself, you know?
With weight loss.
And she talks about how, like, right at that transition from going, like, just singing at churches and doing things to having a label, she was invited to audition for the Mickey Mouse Club. And that was fascinating. Like, mm-hmm. that audition, because I was really invested in that show as a young person. And to see how, like, they take them for a week and they did classes and they trained these kids who were auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the week had the audition. And so they all got to know each other and they were friends before the audition. And that, to me, I just loved seeing, like, an open door into this.
Because it's all the other people that you knew of that time. They were all together, right?
Yes. So it was Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears. Who was the other guy I was telling you? He's an actor now in Notebook.
Oh,
Oh my gosh, it's going to be
I have the coloring book. Ryan Gosling.
You know, he was on the Mickey Mouse Club, so he was all in this. And their interactions is like young kids, right? Yeah,
and they're just kids hanging out doing this fun thing together in audition. Yet, yeah.
You know?
And yet they all...
Very talented.
STEM careers from there.
Yeah. And like some of them had a lot of them, I think, had some experience before going on the Mickey Mouse Club. I think she was probably the most inexperienced coming into that audition. They had some things in their book. But they all had the same jumping off point, you know, and they all kind of interacted. And it's fascinating to me.
Wow.
Okay. So anyway, I loved it. And then it talks about her relationship with Nick Lachey and their marriage and how
their reality TV got
them together. Yeah. And how that affected their marriage and just what broke up their marriage. Like this to me was their marriage was for all to see. Mm-hmm. And so everyone had an opinion about it.
Right.
And I don't think anyone really has a clue, even in a situation like that.
Because it was for ratings, the show.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the book that I just talked about the last time, Followers.
Yes.
Where it was the relationship for the ratings. Like, this is a good person to put you with right now because the ratings will go up. And then you guys should do this because our viewers like this kind of stuff. And
yeah.
You should not do that.
I mean, they very much loved each other. But I don't know that they would have gotten married hadn't it been for, like, 9/11 happened. And at the end, kind of at the end of their relationship, it was kind of deteriorating.
Yeah.
But then they... were so sad and watched all the people who had lost the people they loved and didn't want to lose each other, you know, and it ended up bonding them. And then, but maybe it wasn't the right thing if they'd have taken some time.
Yeah.
And she talks about how sex played into that, right? She was waiting for marriage and maybe if she wouldn't have waited, you know, that then maybe would have changed their future. Wouldn't have had the
pressure of getting married so soon.
Yeah. But she speaks kindly of him still and just how her future played out and the different celebrities that she dated, you know, John Mayer and... She talks about these things and just the mental effect and how easily swayed she was. I think the thing that I love about her is she's totally honest about how she was so easily duped.
Yeah.
By person after person after person. Because for a long time, she didn't live for anybody. She didn't live for herself.
It was for everybody else.
And I can just, you listen to that and you go, I get it. I can totally relate to you and I can see it maybe not always in myself, but in people that I love. And she's just a normal person doing her best.
Yeah.
And trying to make the people that she loves happy. And that is really her biggest goal. And in the end, she hurt herself.
She's the one not happy.
Yeah.
And really nobody else is either because...
She's not happy.
She's not happy. Yeah.
So anyway, long, long story. I really like the book. I highly recommend listening to it because it's so fun to listen to her. I gave it 4 stars. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And... I'd have, and for someone who doesn't necessarily love memoirs, I love this book.
You love that
It
one.
Was good. Yeah. So that's me. Awesome. That's my first book.
That's awesome. So I wanted to mention that I did read Long Way Down.
And
I liked it. I was surprised how short it was.
It was really short.
It's a really short.
Definitely read it so quick.
Quick read. Yeah.
Yes.
And definitely one you could read with your kids. I mean, it's written for, wouldn't you say young adult? Juvenile fiction?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's definitely Jay.
Would you read it with your kids?
It's got some tough topics.
Yeah. I think it was written at an easy level.
Like reading level.
For kids who maybe are in this type of
situation.
Because it is, I liked the premise of the elevator ride down and the different people from his life that influence the decision that he's ultimately going to make. Anyway, that's one you had talked about last time.
Yeah.
And I read that and I did read Untamed.
Oh, you did?
I did.
What did you think?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I did. I think it was so interesting. Yeah, I gave it 4 stars. So interesting her life and how she can honestly view herself And I'm impressed with the fact that she was hurt by her husband.
Yeah.
With the cheating and how that made her feel and the acceptance that she had to come to there. And then when she asked for a divorce and ultimately got a divorce and then she remarried a woman.
Abby, I think
it's Abby.
Name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That her relationship with her ex stays as part of the family. Like, they still do things together. And I think that would be so difficult. But I'm always impressed when people can co-parent.
Yeah. Like, what's a true best, co-parent.
Yeah. What's best for the kids. Like, they vacation together. They have family dinner together. They still go to sports games. I love the story she tells about when she's there at the soccer game with her wife. And her husband's playing, and the
both her husband and wife play on the same soccer team.
Yeah, just like a
it's like a rec team. Yeah,
team thing. And somebody sitting next to her asks, "Oh, who are you here watching?" And she's like, "Well, my ex-husband and my wife." And I mean,
the way that she had to say that was like, "Oh, is that his wife?"
Yeah.
And it was like, "Nope, it's mine."
Anyway, just cute that they are still a family.
Yeah, I thought that was that very respectable. Her
new relationship is respected with him. And then when she talks about him starting to date and the feelings she has with that.
I thought that was honest. Think
it was very honest. And I think as much as she, when she brought Abby into the family, that he was so gracious and accepting of it. And maybe she took that a bit for granted until it happened to her when he brought somebody in. Yep. And her defenses went up like, "You're doing my daughter's hair. Yeah. You're doing, you know," like the influence she had then on her kids and coming to terms and being okay with that.
Yeah. And when I read that, like, I kind of felt her reluctance to acknowledge her feelings, right?
Yes.
Like, it was like, I need to be doing this and I'm trying to do this, but maybe I'm not 100% there yet. Yeah. Yes. And I can recognize that I want to be there. Like, I want to love her, and I think she's a good person. This isn't about her.
It's
about me.
The threat it is to me and my relationship with my kids and how it changes this dynamic. Like, it's been perfect for her. She's got her person.
Yeah.
And he's just come along with them to do what's best for the family, and they've all gotten along. And now it's his turn to have his person, and
I need to give him that same grace.
And he deserves that. And exactly. She needs to give him that same grace. So anyway, yeah, I loved it.
There's just a lot of things there. And I think the one thing that just stuck with me, right, forever, is just that same image of, it's just such a great image that she gives us, the cheetah.
The cheetah,
like, where you're born into a situation and you just go along with it because that's just what you know.
It's what everything is.
We don't know the wild, right? And so breaking out of what we know and being a cheetah.
Being wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like finding our
wild. Like, what is it for us that...
Each person is different. Like, your wild might be exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But it's... Have you checked outside of yourself to know that that's...
Is there anything else that you just don't even know about?
Yeah.
Like, it really made me think, like, I've lived in Utah my whole life. I never had the urge to adventure out or to see what else was out.
Yeah.
And that was fear. Like,
sure.
I stayed where I was because this is what I knew. And I did what I wanted to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much world to explore. And I could be a teacher anywhere.
Absolutely. You know?
I didn't need to stay in Utah. I could have taken an adventure and gone. And I really look up to people who took that. Like, one of the teachers I work with, she grew up in Ohio and she graduated and moved to Utah and taught here by herself, just wanted an adventure. I would have never done that. I would have never even thought to leave everyone behind and go somewhere I didn't know for adventure.
Super scary.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And how exciting. Like, I think if we embraced those things that were scary, instead of scary and turn around from them, scary.
And go right to it.
And go right to it. Like, this is so scary. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And I have a safety net. I can, you know, you can always go back.
Go home.
Why just try things? Jump out and try it and do something. So
that's don't really we make what up like a think. Million excuses?
Yeah.
Why you just can't go.
Right.
Like, why you can't take that jump.
Yeah.
Like, I am with you 100%. Like, I keep telling Steve, it's funny, that we need to move.
Yeah.
We need to go somewhere far away and just try it. Yeah. Like, just put ourselves out there and just do it. Because we'd have each other.
Yeah.
And you, like, guys, we'd have our family. You'd take your
kids with you.
Yeah. So, like, let's just go. Like, let's do it. We need to do that. We need to push ourselves. And then it's like, well, we've got these boys with health concerns.
That's...
And we need insurance. Like, what if something happened? He's got a good job. We can't leave it. Right. You know, it's there's like, all those, there's lots of... And all they're that valid. Life. But come on.
But yeah. Yeah.
I'm with you. I've done, like, the
same
go.
Thing. I've done the same thing. Like, if I would say I love it, Scott would move like that. And I've always been, our doctors are here, our specialists are here for our health things as well. And
I know.
But they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
There's probably even better ones elsewhere. Like, just because I know the ones we have here doesn't mean...
It's the end all, right?
Yeah. We can have different doctors and switch. And yeah, but there's always those things that keep us here. But
anyway...
I find my ways to be wild.
The comfort. The comfort. But I love that. I loved that it sparked in me again, right? Just, it almost was like another thought of like, no, go do. Yeah. Like, maybe we don't move. Maybe it's a different way of exploring, Jamie. Yeah. Like, maybe there's other ways we can get out.
Maybe getting out of my comfort zone.
Right.
As far as,
I'm just saying, like, maybe it's traveling. Or, maybe it's, you know, going and doing, maybe it's not even as a vacation, but it's traveling to really know the people in other places and setting something up like that.
Instead of doing touristy things, going to do more service things or actually local getting to know cultures and things like that.
Yeah. So anyway, just, I love that.
I wrapped two books together in my second one, but mostly I just wanted to talk about Untamed because...
That's a good one.
That was a good one. So not a new recommendation, but I did read it. So.
Okay. All right. The next one that I read was Long Bright River by Liz Moore.
This one's been on our list too.
Yes. I couldn't wait.
You keep doing that.
That's why we need new books on our list.
That's why we need your help, people. Sarah keeps reading a book
list. I'm sorry. I did that to Untamed too.
That's okay. Now
you've read Untamed.
I can read it.
Well, okay. Okay. So, Long Bright River, just to give a little bit of background, it's about two sisters that grew up with their grandmother because their mother overdosed and had a drug problem. She didn't have a drug problem until before she had her second child.
Okay.
So the older daughter remembers like a different mother, but she did overdose when they were both quite young. I think the youngest was like two. So they mostly lived with their grandparents. And then how different they both were. Like, the younger daughter was kind of a rebel. She always was going out on a limb, very adventurous, took a lot of risks. Mm-hmm. The older one was kind of a do-gooder, always tried to follow the rules, always trying to help her sister, save her sister, keep her out of trouble. And, you know, if one got, you know, her sister would get kicked out of school all the time. That meant she got kicked out too, because they couldn't go to separate schools. So she didn't get kicked out, but she would have to leave and change schools. And just how their grandmother, out of her heartache from losing her daughter, you know, blamed their dad and the estrangement that happened there. He ended up leaving too because he couldn't handle the grandmother's guilt. And they never knew what happened to him. They assumed he died too, because he also had a drug problem. And then the grandmother just constantly complaining. And in her heartache, maybe didn't show them a lot of love, because she was
hurting as well.
Yeah. And
she
wasn't
available.
And I think your fear of losing someone else, right? And where the younger daughter was taking a similar road to the mother, it was like just too much.
Yeah.
And so she really distanced herself and really kept them at arm's length, and how they had to find love in different ways. And I mean, it's from the point of view of the older daughter as an adult. And so you kind of get her memories of them as children. And she has become a police officer, and how that makes her almost an outcast in her family, because they're kind of live on the on the dangerous side, and they don't always do things that are legal, and so that makes her
the
enemy.
Yeah, the enemy.
Right. Even though she doesn't ever go after her family. Right. But if she does come across, like, her sister becomes a really heavy user, and she's on the streets and she's soliciting herself. And so she sometimes has brought her sister in, but it's, they just keep it very professional. And it's very interesting to watch this point of view. And so, as you're at the very beginning, she kind of realizes that she hasn't seen her sister in a while and she doesn't know where she's at. And she starts to get worried on the street. She's finding out that even the, her friends, the sister's friends, haven't seen her in a long time. And so it becomes this quest for this daughter, for the older sister, to find her younger sister. And she's always in fear that
she's going
to
find her dead.
Yeah, there's a rash of murders happening to these kinds of girls. Mm-hmm. And every time a new body is found, she's worried it's her sister.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's like kind of a mental game. Like you sit and play with yourself. Like, what took this girl down this road? Was there anything that could have been done to save her?
When you have two girls, sisters in the same situation, how did one have such resilience?
Yeah.
And stay and become a professional?
Yeah.
And one fall apart and
go down the other road. And she has a son, and the son is wrapped up into that story. The older daughter has a son. And she, you know, he's a part of this story, and how she struggles with relationships, even now, right?
Even like
she
with can't her own son.
Even not just like she loves her son and she right. takes very good care of him, but like the son's father, that relationship, she has a partner who's a man, and that relationship, like she has her own set of issues that are just deep, right? Mm-hmm. And so the title, which was, I didn't know this, like the Long Bright River refers to a vein. Okay.
For drug use.
Right.
The Long Bright River.
And it was just very interesting to me. I thought it was good. I really liked it. The way, there's a lot of twists and turns that you just don't see coming. Between these relationships, you have an idea of what they are, and then you find out new things, you know, as you go.
It was good.
I gave it 4 stars. I don't want to spoil anything because each new revelation is fun. Right? Yeah. It's like, Oh, you know, it's just kind of like that through the whole book. And so I really did like it. And who you think is a bad guy, maybe they're not. And who you mm-hmm. think is good, maybe is not. And anyway, it's just fun.
That sounds really
good. It's a sad book.
Yeah.
The premise, there's lots of sadness, but it's done in such a good way that you're learning about these hard lives, but also really want to know the whodunit, like who's the murderer, who's going to save the daughter, where's the younger sister, are you going to find her, is she going to die, like it's lots of things.
Lots of different things going on.
So it was good. So Long Bright River by Liz Moore, I gave it 4 stars.
4 stars. Okay. So this one, it seems like it's been months ago that I read it, but it really has been since the last time we recorded, or maybe I was reading it while we were recording the last one. What I thought was funny about this one, so it's Talking As Fast As I Can, From Gilmore Girls to Gilmore Girls, the memoir of Lauren Graham.
I've read this.
Have you read this one?
We haven't talked about it here.
Okay. So I was actually reading this when you texted me the question from one of our listeners about how many of the books from the book list of the Gilmore Girls had we read.
Yes.
And I was listening to it at the time you texted
really?
Me.
That's
and
awesome.
So I stopped and pulled up the list of all the books that were mentioned in Gilmore Girls.
Yes.
How many?
There's like over 300 read. Books listed or mentioned
in the series. Yes. And I was like something like 33.
I was right there with you.
So low.
So like, low.
Holy cow, I call myself a reader.
That's how I felt. I mean, there are, like, a lot of the books are deep classics.
Yes,
like,
yes. And that's...
And it's just, it would be an investment.
A little bit more heavy reading,
yes.
That I'm not at.
Right. I like the lighter entertainment.
Yeah.
But so, I love that they've listed, they talk about over 300 books. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah. And what a great question, whoever that listener.
Well, it was actually from another podcaster.
Another podcaster. Ah.
Yeah. Interesting. So they had mentioned how many books they'd read. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know there was a list. And so she threw it back. She's like, well, how many have you read?
How many had they read compared to how many you?
We had had a couple more than them.
Okay.
So right there, though,
in the same ballpark.
Yes.
Good.
That's, yeah, like 28 or something that. Like that. Yeah. No, we were right there with them.
It was quite the heavy list.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should read more. But I read all the time.
I read all the time.
Maybe I should just read a different type of book. So I just thought that was funny that at the time
that is awesome.
I was actually
well, and I love the Gilmore Girls.
Yes,
I love Lauren Conrad.
Yes,
I think she's so fun.
Yeah.
What did you think of her biography?
So I really liked it. It's fun to hear her read it.
Yeah.
It's fun to hear her story behind the Gilmore Girls, like what was going on in her life when she was recording this, and what was going on in her career and her life decisions and how it all intertwined with and her friendships on the cast and off cast and her different shows she's done and her parents. Like, it's just, I love, you know, I talked about A Very Punchable Face last time with Colin Jost, and it's just fun to see, you know, we watch these shows, we get invested in these characters and they're so real to us.
Yes.
And then to read the book from the real person and get like the backstory of the rest of their lives going on at the same time and how fast paced this recording was. And the, what she talked something about, and I don't remember, I had never heard of the term, but there's someone that she worked with, I want to say like a linguist, but not a linguist, but someone who helps her like pronunciate certain things. Some kind of a coach.
Okay.
A language coach.
Probably a speech coach.
Mm-hmm. For, you know, and they did. They like talk really fast.
Oh, yeah.
And they're throwing around words.
Big words.
Big words and big conversations and just having to memorize that and then move on to the next episode and memorize those episodes. And I just, like when she talks about it, it almost was just like, oh my gosh.
Makes you tired.
It made me so tired. Yes. And I didn't know she was married. I can't even remember his name, but off of Parenthood.
Yeah.
The brother. What?
Yeah, it's her.
The brother-in-law, right? It's not her brother, is it?
I think it's her brother.
It's her brother on Parenthood.
I think
she
so.
She married in real life, which, anyway, yeah. And then she talks about the different actors and their relationships they've had together and their friendships in real life and how much they mean to her and... Do they still get together? Yes, they still get together and have family dinners. And they call it family dinners, like her. And it will always be Rory to me.
I can't even think of her real name.
Oh, I thought you just said it.
I was saying Lauren. I said Lauren Conrad, which wasn't even right.
Lauren Graham.
Okay,
I thought you were throwing out I don't remember her name, but it was her first acting job.
Was it really?
That was her...
And she has to say, and like, she's so young. Fast and so much.
Yeah, Lauren came in and was like, I felt like I had to guide, you know, like, I was her coach and guide her. And she was just brand new to this. And then, boy, how much I learned from her. And
Peter Krause.
That's right. Peter Krause is her husband now. Anyway, just, I enjoyed it. And, I mean, I like her. I read memoirs. I mean, I wouldn't say it's my main genre, but I throw one in every month or two.
Well, I'm finding myself more and more drawn, I have to say, to that genre.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. I gave it 3 stars. It was fun. It was an easy, I listened to it and I love hearing her voice. And it got the 2017 Choice Award from Goodreads. So
that's awesome.
I do kind of wish I'd had the book because she references a lot the pictures in the book.
Oh, I know.
I want to see the pictures.
I did have that same thought.
Maybe when our library's open, I'll go to the library.
And you know what else I love? Like, she talks, if I remember right, it's been a little while since I've read it, but she talks about like how she writes.
Yes.
And like how to set aside.
She wrote a book.
Yeah, she's written a book.
She's
written another fiction.
Another fiction novel. Yeah, I did not know that.
I know. And I just thought that was so interesting because she gives advice. Like, this is how I do it. And this is how I stay focused. And this is how I, like, plug through.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. And I felt like it was good advice for just, like, any way that you're trying to be focused on
and
a task.
And getting something done. Yeah, she does break it down. You're right. She breaks it down on how she sets aside time and
And I loved her story. Another one that sticks out in my mind is the story that she tells about being in that theater and how fun that was every night to like go in and put on that show. It was before Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
And she just was in this open theater. She was just out of college and she was like traveling as a summer actress and just trying to figure out what she wanted to do. And how, like, just how funny that was. Like, she's so funny.
She is. She's.
And she just tells a good story.
She's a great storyteller.
So I thought that was great.
Yeah. It was enjoyable. She's funny. I want to see her in more things.
Yeah.
Like, I loved her in Parenthood. I loved her in Gilmore Girls. And then the new spinoff of Gilmore Girls. So I want to see her in another.
I hope they do another series. Gilmore Girls, because I don't think I'll ever have enough Gilmore Girls.
I don't
Girls.
Think I ever will either.
I love that show so much.
Me too. And you know, I didn't really watch it until like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was really? Not one that was.
I totally watched it in real time.
In real time. Nope. I was a late bloomer with it.
Well, give me a WB show, and yeah, I'm with you forever.
You are the WB.
I love it, the WB.
I never was the WB until...
I think I've mentioned this before. I have Dawson's Creek on DVD.
Yeah, you have. And I've still never watched it.
I even have all the soundtrack discs of Dawson's Creek.
Oh, my goodness.
There's like 10 of them.
And what do you do with those now?
I still listen to them. You listen to them? They're good songs.
Are they?
Good, yeah.
I never listen to music. I can't tell you the last time I put a CD in.
Well, it's like I've put them onto my iTunes.
Onto your playlist.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah.
But yeah, they're so
I don't
good.
Listen to music.
I highly
often.
Recommend checking okay. out the Dawson Creek soundtrack.
Well, there you go, from Sarah. Oh. We've now turned into a WB.
You didn't know that's what you were signing up for, did you, Jamie?
Review podcast.
Yeah.
And I have nothing to add.
I will say that Reagan
you picked the
is
wrong
watching.
Co-host.
That's okay. Reagan is watching Gilmore Girls right now. My 14-year-old has just discovered Gilmore Girls. And at first I was
that's
like,
fun for her.
Okay, but I'm, you know, she's got it on in the main room. And so it's actually created a lot of good conversations. Yeah. Like at first I was kind of like, oh man, you're too young. This is like heavy stuff. But I'm sure I don't know how old I was when I watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was going to say, when did it, I don't even know when it originally aired. So.
I was probably in high school, but anyway, I'm watching it with her, and she's just fascinated. And if anything, I'm like, be like Rory.
Yeah.
Like I like Rory.
She's such a smarty.
She tries to do what's right. Yeah. So anyway, it's fine. So she's watching that. I don't think I'd let her watch Dawson's, but I will absolutely let her watch Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Okay. So my next book that I wanted to talk about is The Mothers by Britt Bennett.
Another one that I'm on the wait list for that one.
I've had to wait for a while
for it. It's been a while since I've had it on the wait. I think since I read The Vanishing Half.
Yeah, I think that's when
That's when I put it on the wait list. And let me tell you how many weeks I have on it.
Because I listened. Like, I had it from the library.
Yeah, from the library. I'm 11 weeks out.
Eek. I don't remember when I put it on.
And
but I just barely listened to it.
While I'm here, did you know that Judy Picoult has a new book out? The Book of Two Ways. And I'm 6 months on the waiting list for that one.
Oh, I have a few of those 6 month waits.
Okay. I want to hear about The Mothers. Since.
Okay. Is it
Britt
my
Bennett.
Turn?
Yeah.
To talk about my book?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So we did The Vanishing Half as our book club book. So that's the first one I ever read of Britt Bennett. But
Same
the
here.
First book she ever wrote, I think, is
Was
The Mothers.
Yes.
At least that's critically acclaimed. But I'm pretty sure it's her first.
Yeah.
Published novel.
I think it was her.
So,
novel.
The Mothers. It's about. It follows a girl who is 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
and her mother. At the beginning of the book, her mother commits suicide,
mm-hmm.
and she is left with just her father. She doesn't have siblings, and her father is very sad and kind of goes into a hole. And so she really feels alone.
She's on her own
because her dad doesn't know how to. Take care of her
and how to deal with his own
and he's
loss.
Dealing with his own pain. Yes.
Okay.
So you follow this girl and the choices that she makes. Very early she starts getting involved with the pastor's son
mm-hmm.
from church. And they're sneaking around and, you know, he sneaks into her bedroom and he doesn't want to be seen with her in public because she's 17 and he's 20. And so he's too old, right? She's mm-hmm. too young for him.
And I'm assuming both black.
Both are black.
She's writes in black communities,
yes.
right?
Yes. And okay. she just paints such a beautiful portrait of people. Like, she just has a way of, you know, helping you see these people and their struggles and, you know, what, why they make those decisions. You really can get it. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing I love about her is you just, even though some of these characters' choices are heartbreaking, you can understand,
yeah,
like, why they're there.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's very common for you to really get in the skin of the characters. And I felt like I was. And,
yeah,
and you know, in their three-month affair, uh-huh, I mean, they're young.
Yeah.
She gets pregnant.
Okay.
And she's very smart. This girl is headed places. She's already been accepted to Michigan State College. He, you know, they are in California, and she's going places. And so, mm-hmm, she just can't imagine. Like, that she feels like maybe, and this is kind of a resounding theme throughout the book, is like, she always wonders, you don't know why her mother committed suicide. There was no note. But she always wonders if maybe she hadn't been born, then maybe her mother wouldn't have been sad, because she was a surprise.
Okay.
And it's why their parents got married, because they got pregnant. And so she's like, I can't be my mother.
I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't.
So she, you know, at the very beginning of the book, so I'm not spoiling anything, is she gets an abortion. And this affects the rest of their whole community's lives. This one decision.
This one.
Okay. So it's very, you follow her as she goes to school, as she makes one best friend, and what happens to her friend, what happens to the boy, mm-hmm, that she had this relationship with, and the choices he makes after she wants an abortion, and how that affects him, and how it affects the pastor's family,
mm-hmm,
you know, because he's the pastor's son, and
right,
how it affects them, and then ultimately their congregation. It's, and how they treat her. And the way that she's viewed, even though it's kept quite a secret, and they still view her a certain way. I found that fascinating. And because she's viewed, it's almost like she internalizes these views about herself, even though she leaves.
Yeah.
She can't, you know, she has just
can't get away
relationship
from it.
Problems. And it was so, like, the story was so good.
Wow.
Okay. I loved two for the two story, but let me just say.
Okay.
It doesn't end. Like, all of a sudden, there's some big things that happen at the end.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, like, mind blown by these things that are happening. And they just don't really get resolved. They are implied.
But it's just over.
Yeah. And then it kind of, like, the mothers are a reference to the older women in the congregation.
Okay.
And they give insight throughout the book. And they, at the end, are the ones wrapping up the book. And they, like, give their insight. And I'm just like, wait, no. Like, I was really bummed.
Yeah.
Where she can take you
so deep into a character.
And then just walk away. That's where she loses me. And I don't remember. I know that I felt like The Vanishing Half was wrapped up better. I mean, okay, you get a little bit more what happens to these people, right, mm-hmm, in The Vanishing Half. You don't get that at all, with this book. So that's my only complaint. I gave it 4 stars because of that. I probably would have given it 5 if I felt like it could have been wrapped up
a little better.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was so, like, I really want you to read it because I want to talk about it with you.
Okay. I feel like my books this week were all rereads.
That I've already read.
but I love to talk about it.
I know. I really feel like we need to. Like, even with Untamed.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good to hear what you thought and be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
So now you know my thoughts. Now you can go into it and tell me what you think. Because there's still, like, I feel like I gave you a lot of information, but that happens very quick.
Well, in 11 weeks,
you'll
I'll come
find
back
out
and tell you
I know
what I thought of it. So...
Gosh, we talked about so many good books today.
We did. That was a lot.
I know. Like,
I doubled down
that
a couple times there. So, yeah.
I know. I think I do have some others, but I'm going to save them.
Okay. We've got more episodes coming.
I know. Like, get ready, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening with us today. This was a good one.
Let us know what you've been reading.
definitely.
We want to hear, and we want to hear if you've read any of these. It's been fun getting
feedback from people saying their lists are growing, and like they've read some books that we had recommended.
Yes.
And hearing their feedback after they've read it. Like,
yeah.
We love that. Keep love it coming.
It. Love it. Let us know if you're reading along with us with our book club book, and if you've read any of the ones we talk about on our other weeks.
And what's on your shelf.
Yeah. And please, I need some on my shelf. So share.
Yes. I'm always share looking for a good book. Next week is question and answer.
Yep. We've got a fun one planned for that.
Yeah. So it's going to be good. Stay tuned.
Episode 21.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's it. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us
at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
So be sure to follow along with us in those platforms.
Follow us, comment. We'd love to hear from you in any of those places.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo.
Yep. Thank you for our music. We love it.
We love it. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.